This is a Global Player original podcast.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio
X. Welcome to the 4 till 7 thing podcast. On this week's podcast, we've got one of the greatest pairings in rock and roll history. Ladies and gentlemen, Liam Gallagher and John Squire will be on the show. I know, extraordinary, isn't it? Plus, the Prince of Monaco, why he's a very warm man. And the Woodman has the old Toronto lawyer forcibly testing the limits of what can be endured in his heroic little slot. Enjoy.
Radio X.
Gav.
Yes.
Those winds.
My God, they were loud.
I tell you what,
they were really loud.
There's only one thing matched the fury of the winds this weekend.
What?
My dad.
Oh, really? Yeah. Was he cross?
I'm afraid so.
Why?
Because really he went to see The Lion King.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. He got taken to The Lion King by his partner. And because she thought it would keep him awake.
Right.
There's no way he's sleeping during The Lion King. And you're absolutely correct. It did keep him awake.
Yeah.
But he went to the Lyceum, right?
Yeah.
In Covent Garden.
Yeah.
And he said the toilets were disgusting.
That was his first mention.
In defence of Lyceum, I said, but it's probably, they probably had two performances.
Yep.
So they had a matinee on Saturday.
Right.
Probably haven't got time to send the clean. He says, well, it's bloody disgusting, John. He goes, and the paper was paper thin.
I was coming.
I said, but it's paper, Dad. He goes, you know what I bloody mean. And he goes, there was no hook on the back of the door to hang your coat.
Oh, my
thinking,
God.
Who has a number two at the theatre? My dad. There you go. Anyway.
Wow.
Nowhere for your waistcoat or anything.
But he says the seats were uncomfortable in the actual theatre.
Right.
It was disgusting. The toilets were disgusting.
Wow.
And crowded. Now, this wouldn't be so bad, right? But I thought I'd do some research on The Lion King.
Okay.
Yeah? Mm. Do you know The Lion King? This is really weird. There's two things my dad's been ranting about today. The second thing is he's gone to visit Westminster. He's staying up in London. Mm. He's gone to visit Westminster Abbey as well.
Nice.
27 quid to get in.
What?
No.
27 quid.
Westminster Abbey?
Yeah, him and his partner have paid to get in.
Wow.
27 quid. I don't know.
Don't know, yeah.
But the point is, maybe it's...
Maybe together.
Might be.
Someone might want to do some research while we talk. Anyway, the point about it is that... It's disgusting because only in this country would you have to pay to go into the head judge. You haven't got to pay to go into St.
Peter's. That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's mad.
It's mad.
That is mad.
To pay to go in the biggest church or to go to any cathedral, it's just, that's what it is. It's disgusting. How much is it, sons?
£29 per adult.
Right, there you go.
Over 65, 26.
Right, so they've paid 26 quid each. They've paid 52 quid to go and have a little look around. And considering it gets so, the royals are rarely out of the place.
Sure.
In terms of how much turnover they've got in there.
Yeah.
And how much interest there is.
Well,
again, if you haven't got a British passport and whatever, or you're not Church of England, no one should pay.
No.
No
one.
Shocking.
It's disgusting. Okay, but here's what's interesting. Is that, we'll be the judge of that. I did a bit of research. At lunch with my dad, we're going through it, we're doing some research.
Yeah.
What gets me, do you know how much the Church of England's worth?
A lot.
They've got a lot of land, haven't they?
Apart from land, apart from anything else, they've got a trust fund worth $8.7 billion, which earns them $1.4 billion a year.
Oh, it's like a hedge fund now,
yes,
I guess.
Yeah, they invest it. That's not including the 500,000 hectares of mineral rights they've got up and down the country,
right.
All the properties they rent, all the land, all the stuff that's let to them, all the churches, everything. So when you're worth $8.7 billion and you're not even counting your property...
Right.
Into that.
That's just your fun money.
That's just your walk around money. Yeah?
Wow, that's shocking.
Right. So, it's worth about let's call it 8.5. Do you know what's really weird? 8.5 billion. Do you know how much The Lion King has taken?
How much?
8.5 billion.
You are
about
joking.
About the same. So, in its short reign on Earth, The Lion King has got generated as much cash as the Church of England.
That's insane.
In the 2,000 years, it's because it was ready made by the Catholics anyway. It was
nickel. Yeah, yeah.
So it's about what? 1660, restaurant, Cromwell getting in there,
right,
1649.
Somewhere around
1649,
there.
Charles I gets his head cut off. Obviously, you've got Henry VIII way before that starts making Church of England, but then you've got Jacobites, you've got also. But let's say they've had a head of steam up.
Sure.
400 years.
Yeah, and they gained a lot of equity right at the beginning.
Right.
Yeah, they gained took a load of churches. Yeah.
But isn't that odd? They've taken 400 years and they're in the same place as the Lion King.
That's incredible.
Which opened in 1999.
Which opened in 1999.
My point is,
Church of England, one, pull your finger out. Yeah. If the Lion King can do that with a selection of tunes penned by Elton John, yeah, and you're in the same place after 400 years, you need to consider a change of management.
Definitely, yeah.
Johnny Vaughan.
Radio X.
Thank you so much for your reaction, incidentally, to the extraordinary statistics about the Lion King earning, well, having as much in its fund as the Church of England.
It's crazy
sometimes the stats just line up for you. I tell you what it did lead to, though. What? A very interesting lunch with my father.
Yeah, right.
You can imagine.
I bet it was.
Vaughan Senior loves stats like that.
Oh.
Number crunching like that.
Oh, man.
Iron is like that.
I'll see
on the
you
play,
through
like,
to pudding.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Christ alive. Which was, he thought the sticky toffee pudding was too sticky.
Oh, really?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
He said, he'll find something, won't he?
A bit too sticky, John.
He doesn't really like London, does he?
Also, another thing that happened.
A bit too Londoning,
right?
John.
But another thing that happened is, in the gravy, there was mushroom.
Sure. Yeah.
He asked, is there mushroom in the gravy?
Right.
Oh.
There is mushroom in the gravy.
Okay. Mm.
And the reason his partner asked is because it turns out he's become allergic to mushrooms.
Okay.
And it's actually sometimes I get a bit of tummy trouble with mushrooms. So
right.
Maybe I've got to watch that. Anyway, so make it about me. Anyway, so he goes, I'll just have a little bit then. I'm like, why do you want to risk it? Because I want some bloody gravy. I go, you're allergic to it.
Yeah.
You're at the hospital every week because of cream, mushroom, some new allergy or whatever.
Oh, there's blooming gravy, John.
Are you going to throw caution to the wind?
You can't have your Yorkshire pudding. You know, and then I'm thinking, here it comes. You know, in Yorkshire, they serve it. Yes, I do know that.
That's a course on its own.
Radio X.
Hey, guys, do you know what? It's weird because I've noticed this. Most of the guys down at my gym, yeah?
Yeah.
Me and the guys, we got big cars.
Sure.
And it says here, more than half the new cars sold in the UK and Europe are bigger than the minimum parking space. That is so true.
It is true, yeah.
Okay. I'd say 65% of people who go to the same gym as me have got Humvee H3s.
Sure.
Wow. Yeah.
Have you still got that Lamborghini Jeep that you had all those years?
Too small.
Is it? Right.
Too small.
Right,
that's for me a hot hatch.
Uh-huh. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Your knees were too high.
No,
in that.
At the moment, I've got a Bronco. I've got an 80s Bronco.
A six-wheeler?
It does about six miles to the gallon. I like to call it my covered truck.
Okay.
But honestly, the trouble we get into, once you start parking like that, with a body like this...
Sure. I mean, how'd you get out of it?
I nearly swore then.
Uh-huh.
Imagine trying to get squeezing a body like that between a Humvee and a Bronco.
You can't. Yeah? No. It's like trying to get
a Lion Man's Escalade, which incidentally we found out, yeah?
Yeah.
That the reason he moved to a squat, this is a guy at my gym.
Yeah.
The reason he moved to a squat is because the lease payments are so big on his Escalade.
Is that what it is? So it's
rent.
All going into the car.
He's virtually living in it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mind you, he's short but very wide. So he needs a vehicle
like that.
He can
sleep
in it,
no sweat. It's no famous like a caravan.
Yeah.
It's no sweat. But that. Nice. But what's amazing is trying to get this. Look at this body of mine.
I know.
Look at it!
You can't.
We don't have any option.
It's like trying to get an oak tree out of a matchbox. It's impossible.
Yeah. Drink it in. Anyway, but you try, and it's what they need to do.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to make cars smaller. No one wants that.
No, those days have gone. Yeah.
Well, bigger cars.
Yeah.
And actually, with the electric aids, that could really happen. Just huge, hulking great. But we could start. What I aim to do is have cars that you can just go to a place and get a car printed out.
Right.
Literally by a 3D printer.
Uh-huh.
You say, I want 74 Bronco.
Right.
Oh. But also, the bigger the car, the bigger the battery, so you would have to charge less.
The bigger the car, the bigger the man.
Yeah.
Ah.
You know what they say about big cars, don't you?
Yeah.
Big man.
Big car, big man.
Big man, yeah? Anyway. But it is a problem, and anyone from the government is listening, I urge you, make parking spaces wider for the guys.
Yeah. The big car guys.
No, for the big car guys.
Holly and Shanice are prepping for a big weekend away, and it needs to go exactly to plan. So they need to know exactly what they're getting, like the choice of over 800 hotels.
Yes! Right in the centre!
So they're only moments away from where they want to be.
Woo!
With a super comfy bed waiting for them at the end of the night.
Oh.
And with checkout by 12 p.m, they can even hit snooze. Enjoy the same feeling whatever the trip. Premier Inn. Rest easy. Only available to book at premierinn.com.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Hey, Gav.
Go on.
Prince Albert of Monaco is quite the card.
Is he?
Yes.
I thought he was quite a traditional man.
Well, he may have his faults.
Right.
But no one would question his generosity.
Why?
Because he's a warm man.
Is he a warm man?
No, there's a lot of immoral.
Given over to generosity.
No, he really is. Believe me, talk to him about stipends.
and allowances.
Take this, for instance.
Yeah, go on.
Princess Charlene.
Yeah.
Whose spending exceeds her official allowance of 1.5 million a year.
Yeah.
That's what she gets for spends on clothes.
Right, yeah,
and
yeah.
Fun.
Uh-huh.
That's his missus.
It's the fun budget.
Yeah, but he pays her. He'll make it. If she goes overdrawn, he'll pay it.
Right.
Their accountant's just left them. He's disloyal.
Oh, and he's spilling the beans, is he? Right.
She's not alone. His former mistress has continued to benefit from his largesse as well.
Oh, yeah.
As do the two children he had out of wedlock.
Ah.
Before meeting Charlene, who seems to be kept in the dark about these payments, it seems.
Separate bank accounts.
Yeah, no, yeah. She makes a fascinating read. Also, there's all these disclosures, which are said to be very damaging to Albert, who has a hands-on role running the country. You say country, it's a square mile.
It's like a small town, yeah.
But no tax and no politicians.
Right.
But sometimes you just sort of think, oh, is all our taxes funding politicians to tax us? It's you know, what else? It doesn't seem to be going anywhere you want it, like schools, education and health and the army.
Yeah, except I think in Monaco, I think it's about 70 quid for an egg.
Yeah, it is. Yes.
I think everything's really expensive.
I know people who've been to Monaco
and
just say it's really lame.
Yeah, it's tiny and
just rubbish.
Right.
And really depressing.
Yeah.
And really sort of just...
It's quite run down beyond the facade. It's apparently quite...
Soulless.
Yeah. Soulless.
You might as well move to Westfield Shopping Centre. Anyway, he comes across as a feeble monarch being pushed around by the women in his life, his two sisters. Princess Stephanie and Princess Caroline.
Yeah.
Both use the crown jewels as personal fashion accessories. Mind you, they're not very good. And also, she evicted him from their chateau in northeast France.
So, evicted Albert?
Out. Yeah, get out.
What? I thought he was in charge.
No. The accountant has left the finances in a real mess.
Right.
But Jasmine Grace Grimaldi, Albert's daughter with an American waitress, he had a brief affair with.
Right.
86 grand she gets every 3 months. And he bought her a gaff. So he's really generous bloke.
Right, with all his exes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Same with his son, who he had with a former air hostess.
Right. God, I mean, this is like a...
Waitresses.
This is like a Hollywood film.
Waitresses and air hostesses. What a guy. No, I'm not just saying, but you can see where his temptation is, isn't
you
it?
You can see what his lifestyle was
You can see where he closes. Yeah? He closes with people who have sort of been the service industry.
Right.
Frontline service industry.
Right.
I get you another drink? No. Could you want to take it upstairs?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And what I think about him, though, is no suggestion of anything untoward about his behaviour.
Yeah.
And I just think... Like with football, perhaps our royal family, who are short of a few royals,
could
buy him.
Yes.
A transfer.
Let's do that.
Could we start transferring royals from around the world? Like there's a couple of ones in Denmark.
Oh.
There's that princess in Spain who's great. Transfer them in. We're not marrying them anymore.
Right. And,
you know,
and
like
he
we used to.
He gives great news stories.
Gives great Fantastic, news stories. Yeah. He's got lots of, you know, all these sort of kids around the gaff with, you know,
never
down
run
with
out
the people
of
he had
gossip,
over the waitress to dare.
Wow.
Air hostess.
Amazing.
Landlord's daughter.
Old school.
Old school, man.
Yeah.
Radio X.
Looks like the woodman's ready to tee up his last hero of the week. Drive away, Woodman.
Okay.
You have the honour.
It's my honour. Okay, so the hero today, Johnny. Another in the strain of the sort of Darwin Award-ish kind of stories. This is a
you
story...
mean it's easy?
Well, just... Yeah.
They're just there and it's already...
They're just sort of... So, I can't believe I haven't done more of these before.
They're tap-ins, aren't they?
I mean, they're the...
And they're just right
Mother
for our audience.
Yeah, they really are.
They involve horrible people perishing in horrible but stupid ways.
That's right.
And that is what our crowd wants.
Absolutely right. So the hero today, Johnny, is a man called Gary Hoy. Gary with two R's. which always jumps out at me. So Gary,
what?
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not used to it. Does, it just should be one.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, it really is.
Yeah, right. Gary, it's weird.
Gary.
Anyway, Gary.
Actually, hang on a second. Yeah. Because I know you've got time here.
Yeah,
I know how short this is.
Sure,
gonna be.
Yeah. Go on.
But, how are we meant to pronounce Gary?
Well, I mean, Harry and Barry are both double R's, aren't they?
Yes.
That makes sense, though. I don't know why.
Yeah, it does. I guess it's because Gareth is short for... Because it's not short for Barath.
Yeah, and Gerald is
and Harry,
name.
And Harry is short for either Harold, actually, which will be one of, but mainly Henry.
Yeah.
So...
It's strange.
Yeah, generally, if someone is called Harold, I don't think you call them Harry. You call them Hal, don't you?
I guess.
I don't know. But if you are Gary with two R's, how do you like your name pronounced? What you got, Gav?
Anyway, so Gary Hoy was Gary Hoy was a lawyer in Canada. He was 39.
Act Gary.
And he worked for a law firm that was housed on the 24th floor of an office building in Toronto, Ontario. He was very proud of the fact that his office building had large, super strong, bulletproof glass windows.
Oh, God.
And anytime he was showing new visitors to the office around, he would demonstrate how strong the glass was by, quote, throwing himself at the glass. But in July 1993...
Always the same place.
Always the same window. In July 1993, he was showing a group of young law students around and did his usual stunt and shoulder barged the glass, bouncing back off it as usual. The glass held beautifully. His audience's amazed reaction encouraged him to reinforce the point by showing them just one more time.
Oh.
So he did it again. He shoulder barged the window and the glass held again. It was super strong, but not the frame.
Oh.
And him, the window and the frame all disappeared, heading all 20 floors down to the street outside.
No one was hurt below, were they?
No. It was just one
of
those...
Just the lawyer.
It was just one of those... I mean, you are tempting fate.
It's a demonstration.
If you're going to do a linebacker charge against a high-rise block.
And I bet he was sort of joking about you can throw clients against this as hard as you like, or it doesn't matter, you know.
He must have had the same shtick. He'd done it, apparently, loads of times to the same window. Absolutely. It's not something you can build building rules for, because no one expects a window to be barged at repeatedly.
They don't barge test each one.
No, they don't, no.
You wonder what was going through his head before his head went through his... You wonder what was going through his mind before the pavement did.
Absolutely right. Apart from...
He must have... I wonder if he thought to himself... He must have thought...
Gary.
Gary, you pushed it to the limits there.
Yeah.
Gary, Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing. We salute you wherever you are.
Johnny Vaughan, Radio X.
Ladies and gentlemen, China is a new threat. You're thinking, where is it a new threat? The answer,
China.
China. And they're doing this in China. China.
What?
I've been watching a lot of Trump recently.
Oh, man.
I've got a new terrible craze, ladies and gentlemen.
What?
Yeah. I keep going on his Instagram, and backing him for completely the wrong reasons.
Right, like what?
Well, I'll say things like, I go on his thing, and I'll go on his Instagram, and I'll say something like, And if they don't vote you in New Hampshire, don't allow you there.
Yeah.
You should get your supporters to stage another riot in,
like supporting that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely, you should mobilise your forces, your loyal army, to show this rotten democracy. You know what the people really want.
We'll be behind you,
this
dear
time,
leader.
Get armed and get down there. Hashtag get armed. Hashtag tool up. Go to the White House.
Right.
I keep talking about his.
Do you get loads of really earnest replies where they really like it?
It's insane. It's crazy. The worst thing is like then the DMs you get from weird right wing women.
Wow.
Saying, do you really believe this? Because I thought Brits weren't behind him. You're great. I'm like, I don't know what to do now. Because you look quite cool.
You should start a little cult or a church or something over there.
I'm sort of thinking, you must get the irony here. I'm calling him honest.
Right.
I'm saying, because you're the only person, and I do lots of capital letters, with honesty and integrity to take on this bent nation.
You've never lied once.
Yeah, that's what I say. But they can't take that. The one truthful guy in the room,
That's so
funny. You show them up to me, liar! Right, China is... Anyway, don't start doing it because it's addictive. It really is.
You must get so much support.
God, honestly, Gavin, it's amazing how far you can push it.
Do you know what? Those people probably send you money if you ask for it. If you do some T-shirts and stuff,
you
make a lot of cash.
Gav, China is a threat to Antarctica.
To Antarctica?
Yes. China is hoovering up krill in Antarctic waters. It's one of the biggest threats to the region's wildlife. Can I feel so sad about Britain?
What?
Is we're not. You never read Britain's a threat to anything.
I know. We've never been dangerous. No, we've been dangerous for years.
There's no one we're looking to invade. No. There's no one got our eyes on that's trying to seed from the Union.
Johnny, not since Suez have we.
We're not even sort of vaguely threatening the Isle of Man occasionally.
I know, right.
Threatening anything.
There's no menacing anymore.
It all looks pretty peaceful in Northern Ireland. Yeah. I'm just saying, there's no way we've got intentions on. There's nothing worth threatening. You know, all we do is shut roads.
We should take Belgium or something. We should just take it.
Oh, no, just keep talking about it. Yeah. About how Britain will be watching this election very closely. Just stuff like, just to make people uneasy. You know what I mean? Britain has got its eyes very much on what the Belgians... But also the idea of tanks rolling into Wales. We've got an eye on their local elections.
Confusing. Yeah, right.
God. Surrounded, it's only the British Army surrounding Wrexham.
They'd
I'm
lose.
I'm just saying that the only thing that the British government really and Britain is a threat to, unfortunately, and this is true, is itself.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Britain, biggest threat to Britain.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they've That's attacked it. The rivers.
No, but America threatens everything. They all threaten everything. Russia. We're just a threat to ourselves.
X. Craig's never shown an interest in beekeeping before. But that's the sound of him buying 2,000 worker bees rather than doing his self-assessment. Craig, you live in a sixth-floor flat. The deadline is 31st of January. Less distraction, more action.
Don't be like Craig. Visit gov.uk/self-assessment today. Payment support may be available.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
Little Si, what about this party?
So, on Saturday, I'm going to a 90s-themed party.
Oh, yeah?
All right.
90s-themed.
That's your whole wardrobe, isn't it?
So,
so no need for any costume.
Funny.
Yeah, right.
Very funny. So,
are you going as Eddie Vedder?
That'd be amazing.
So I'm just basically getting my costume out.
So what are you going with? Well, what are you going with?
On the long drive home at Christmas with my wife, we were brainstorming ideas and there's a lot you could be in the 90s, couldn't you?
Right.
Movie, a lot of good movies.
No, there's a lot we could have been.
Yeah.
But there's only one thing you could have been, a Weasley student.
I'd go for being a basketball star in a suit.
Yes.
I get one of those horrible like massive suits.
Those six-button suits. They used to...
What? They look crazy.
What was those style? What was that style?
They looked insane.
But also, just because you're big, you don't have to get a suit that reflects that. I mean, you're not much bigger.
That's right. Yeah, sorry, go on.
Little size should do that. But I don't think that style's going to... Do you know what I think you should go as?
Yeah, go on.
Ding, 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 ding. Ding, 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 ding. Ice, baby. Vanilla.
Yes.
You could get your hair spiked up. No, because his hair.
It's there, almost there. Yeah.
Easily with that.
And we could shave a few stripes into the side. Yeah.
We'll never go, yo, I don't know. And just keep throwing shapes and stuff.
And keep doing the running man.
Doing running man all the time.
Yeah.
And then if you want to break off conversation, people go, sorry, I'm on a roll. It's time to go solo. And then you just disappear into the party.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, man.
Although, do you have to go as a couple together?
Well, that's
you know,
it.
Paired dress up.
We didn't have to, but we did sort of come up with the idea of going as Eddie and Patsy from Absolutely Fabulous.
Okay.
So, and at the time, I was like,
don't ever. Should I just tell you something
that'd be
about
brilliant.
I'm going to give you a real tip for life.
Go on.
This is a really important tip. Yeah.
Go on. Yeah.
Remember, a fancy dress costume is for the night, not just for the entrance.
Yeah, right. It's not for the first 2 minutes.
It's really, really important.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. Funny enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I discovered once when I dressed as a Mekon.
I was at that party,
Honestly, I've never... The fingers were 10 inches long. It's a proper all-in-one. I couldn't get a zip at the back. I couldn't get into a zip at the back when I wanted to pee. You have to ask could you unzip you? Had this head.
A polystyrene head.
It was a polystyrene head. It's about 3 foot wide.
Wow.
It did bobble nicely when I danced, and it did have a bit of a... But I can't see it.
No.
I couldn't roll cigarettes.
No.
I couldn't do anything with my hands. I could barely hold a drink. Then they got all wet and really soggy, these long sponge fingers.
Imagine. imagine.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm having I'm having that same thought.
Terry and Ryslip. He had an Edward Scissorhands costume made for very difficult toilet breaks. I hear you barking. That time I dressed as a Mekon nightmare. Best person I've ever dressed as. It was a come as your hero party. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know who I went as?
Who?
Tom Stoppard.
Tom Stoppard.
Yeah.
And how did that manifest?
Yeah, just wore a really comfy jacket. like a tweed jacket.
Did you have a shirt, mask or anything?
No, and just some trousers. And
did you have a name badge?
Did you have glasses round your neck on a chain or something?
Yeah, that was it. I mean, just Tom Stoppard.
Right.
Tom didn't mention that when we chatted with him that time at that hotel.
It was a nice, we blew his mind. But I knew they were gonna him off with a bronze medal. Fantastic. Well done, Sony.
Yeah.
Anyway, I went to an E-themed fancy dress party as an Etch-a-Sketch.
Mm.
Looked great, but couldn't reach round the screen to pick up my drink without turning sideways and bending down at a painful angle. I'm surprised that an E-themed party is quite dangerous because everyone just might come sort of pilled up.
Yeah,
right.
Hi,
Johnny and the gang. Whatever little side chooses, make sure he doesn't use face paint.
Mm.
Every time I go to a fancy dress party, I always seem to end up using face paint, end up having to get a shower when I get in, whilst very, very, having a few drinks, Christmassy. Never get it off properly, then end up ruining the bed sheets and not in the way and still be scrubbing it off a week later. P.S. What about Rude Hullet? Yeah, that's good, though. Although Little Si, I'm not sure about that. Little Si's been invited, remember, to a 90s theme party. All I've asked you is for pitfalls. You don't have to be specific. You can give advice to him, but really I want your errors. Sons, what have you seen, baby?
Christian agrees with you about the wig. He says, I went as Jack Sparrow years ago. Big mistake. Spent the whole night picking hair from the cheap wig out of my mouth and every so often coughing it up.
Yeah, never. Wigs are just... wigs are such... because they're really hot.
They've been really on someone else as well.
Yeah. If you read them, yeah. They're horrible.
It's just
horrible,
like someone else's hair.
Yeah, it's horrible. they're just horrible. Facial hair.
Yeah.
Don't bother.
No. Even if you're a judge.
Grow it.
Yeah.
What do you got there, Gaff?
No name on this, but it's brilliant. It says, hi, Tej. I went as Kurt Russell from Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, it's all in the reflexes.
You'll be amazed how many people haven't seen that film and thought I was a badly dressed, diehard Bruce Willis.
Yeah, but you know what? If you think about it, that's precisely what Kurt Russell... No, not
well,
quite.
If he had the hair, though, surely.
Well, yeah.
Big Trouble in Little China, I think, is a bit earlier than Die Hard. I think Die Hard's about 89.
I think you're right.
88. I think Big Trouble in Little China is about an 86.
And this is after Escape from New York as well.
This is
Snake
Jack
Plissken.
Burton on the Point Chop Express. I'm talking nervous listening. It's all in the reflexes.
Brilliant film.
It's a brilliant film. And kind of weird sci-fi in its
really
way.
It really is, yeah.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Where they had sort of...
Magical reality or whatever. Yeah. Which I'm not a genre... Well, in terms of literature, it's not a genre I'm a fan of, but but it is cinema, right?
Mm.
I dressed as a gorilla. Big mistake. I got wasted a couple of hours. I had to drink beer through a straw. Nobody knew it was me. I just say, wrong. Gorilla costume is great.
Yeah, but hot.
You take the head off and you're sort of fine. It means you can look hot and just get a seat. A decency.
Right.
Plus, it looks great on the dance floor.
Yeah.
It's just, as I say, everyone, as a rite of passage, when you go to like a decent men's outfitters, they should have morning suit. Everyone should have a morning suit for weddings. You get quite cheaply.
Yeah.
Decent morning suit.
Yeah.
Black tie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Grey flannel suit.
Yeah.
And a gorilla outfit.
Right.
Then you're, and a blazer. Then you're covered for everything.
You're covered
for everything. A blazer with massive, great brass buttons on with some kind of military insignia.
Yeah.
And you can then use the grey flannel from the suit to couple it up with your blazer and you're fine with that.
Nice.
Or get two pairs when you get your suit made, which any decent tailor should provide you with.
Mm.
Hey, TJ, I'm wearing a polyester shark costume with diver legs out of the mouth. Ergo, my arms holding flippers on hands.
Right.
Not only couldn't I get to have a drink, I was sweating like a fat lad in a chippy for 4 hours. Never again. Just to say, those things, I went with a friend when I dressed as a gorilla last.
Yeah.
I went with a friend and she dressed as a gorilla in a cage.
Right.
which was part of the outfit.
Right.
Right.
You know, with the fake legs and everything.
Yep,
and
it yep, just, yeah, yeah,
and it, you could see she's having a rotten night there with
that. It just looks like such a lot of weight
to
carry around all night.
Yeah, a lot of hassle. A lot of hassle. Disastrous costumes. Mankini.
Oh, man.
Mind of its own. Didn't want to be worn. Edward Scissorhands. Yeah. That's Chris in the storm with the dog. Thanks, Chris. That sounds like a Cluedo. Clue. I think it was Chris in the storm with the dog. Wasn't, I'm afraid.
Radio X.
Right, do you want some booze news?
Yes.
I know you'll do. Look at Sunja Pandya.
I know, she sat right up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jack Russell when someone's just driven past a house.
Yeah, yeah.
Jack Russell when someone's just said, cats.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at you. Or squirrels, squirrels.
Or someone's gone, what's that? What's that, boy?
What's that? What's that?
What's that? What's that? What's that?
With Sunja, you're just going to go, booze. Come across one. Huh? Okay, first up, you ready?
Mm.
It's a real challenge these days to make booze less healthy.
Yeah.
But Reese Witherspoon has risen to it with such aplomb that she should start with the spoons.
She should.
Oh, I see what you've done.
Yes.
Yeah, that confused me at first.
Have you been down to Witherspoon's? No, no, no. It's expensive, but really bad for you.
Wow.
The actress Reese Witherspoon. No, sorry, it's cheap and really bad for you. Yeah. Witherspoon's.
Mm, go on.
The actress Reese Witherspoon has stirred a debate over the safety of her latest concoction.
What is it?
So well,
Have you?
Yeah, I watched the video.
I bet you have.
Yeah.
No surprises there for Radio X listeners.
Well, I was worried about how clean it was.
Okay, well, let me tell them, son.
Yeah.
Because they might think you're talking about something sexual.
Yeah.
Right, go on, yeah. Go on.
The Oscar winner posted a clip on TikTok in which she scooped up snow outdoors in a mug.
Yeah.
And added it chocolate, salted caramel syrup.
Yeah.
And then poured cold brew coffee over the mixture.
Right.
To create a snow salt chocchino.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Now, obviously, there's no booze in it, but it's less healthy for you, isn't it? I mean, it's like that's people are saying this is really bad for you.
Well, it's not any different from going to a coffee shop and getting a coffee with all the
eating
sugar in it.
Snow from the first fall, it might have picked up harmful pollutants.
So that's what I was
especially in industrial regions.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
What upset me. Was like, how clean?
What if there's fertilizer
snow
on the ground?
Well, you don't know what's gone past it.
So I'm just saying, stick to booze there. Stick to booze.
Yeah, yeah.
Another example. Again, the message here. So the message of that is, stick to booze.
Go on.
One can of energy drink a month linked to poor sleep. Again, what's the message of this, Gav?
Don't
stick
drink
to booze. Stick to booze. Stick to booze. The occasional can of energy drink, such as Red Bull, can lead to sleeping problems. A study of 53,000... Now, this is the slight problem here. A study of 53,000 students aged 18 to 35 found that those who drank the caffeinated products daily slept about half an hour less than those who avoided them.
Yeah, I mean, that's not really going to need scientific research.
But again,
it's full of caffeine.
Students, stick to snake bites. Asleep by nine, face down on the floor of one of those little local nightclubs.
Blackcurrant, lager,
and lastly,
cider.
Go on. Beautiful. Stick to that, students.
Can you still get it?
Snakebite and black. I don't know. Yeah, you must be.
No, it was. No,
it was. That's what I thought a snakebite was.
Cider and black.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
No, a snakebite is.
It's half lager, half cider, isn't it?
Half lager, half cider.
I don't think they're allowed to sell it anymore.
Cool, they
really?
They weren't back then.
Oh, okay.
They've never been allowed.
It was
to.
The original. Oh. It was the original hooch.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. What you always did was order it separately. Half of cider, please.
That's right. Yeah. Half of lager.
Oh, just a half. Of lager.
Can I have a small glass
like
of Ribena?
Black currant juice, please. Yeah, right. You bring the Ribena in yourself. Yeah. Then you go out to the garden.
Oh,
anyway,
dear.
Although back then there was no garden. Obviously didn't have gardens. There's only
really,
smoking thing. More than 2,000 years ago, the Roman poet Horace wrote a verse contemplating his death in which he seemed to value his wine cellar above his wife.
Oh.
Wow.
Do you know what it turns out? The Romans produced delicious plonk of a surprising depth.
Yeah.
Studies found out that an especially fine amber-coloured tipple would have had all the aromas of walnuts and spice with an alcohol content about 11%. It was the taste would have been complex, but described as complex, but it's extremely drinkable.
sounds lovely.
What's weird is that they made these spicy wines and they let them ferment in these big pots. But what they've worked out is if you stuck to it, they would not have given you hangovers.
Really?
Sure, I've never silenced Shunter like that. That's amazing.
Why?
He just looked at me like I'd said, and so God exists.
And so now so you have the power of flight.
They proved that Spider-Man is real.
But why?
but I don't know if Johnny's telling the truth.
So it turns out, yeah, Spider-Man is real.
But how?
Mineral-rich clay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It gives a dry sensation in the mouth, but the Romans used the same kind of clay in their pots, which had given them this sort of weird spicy wine with all the ingredients. But this is a guy's theory based on Georgian wine that it may have caused... less hangovers that are related to tannins, which is what really gives makes a hangover kick in.
Yeah, yeah.
So than other drinks, which might help explain the Romans' fondness for long and boozy banquets. No fear of hangovers at all.
Yeah.
No fist, yeah, tannins, no. So there we go. So it's great news, yeah?
Is it?
Look out for Sunter at a local off-license. Have you got any wines from southern Italy?
And some mineral pots.
Yes, please.
Some amphorae.
Have you got any amphorae? X.
With UK Export Finance, I'm fulfilling more export orders from around the world with working capital support.
Export insurance means I'll get paid when exporting to challenging markets.
At UK Export Finance, we believe no viable UK export should fail for lack of finance or insurance. Between 2022 and 2023, we provided £6.5 billion of government-backed trade finance to support UK exports. Learn how we could help you win export contracts, fulfil orders, and get paid. Search UK Export Finance today.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
You're rolling with the 4 till 7 thing on Radio X. There have been some epic music duos. Hall & Oates, Simon & Garfunkel, Ant Dec. I'm joking. I can't stand Simon & Garfunkel.
Chaz and Dave,
ladies and gentlemen. Who said that? Would you welcome the perfect pair for us, Liam Gallagher, Mr. John Squire?
Is this John's first time?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Gentle.
We are indeed privileged. Yeah, it is John's first time. Liam, he's got almost a resume.
I'm just a tar. I'm always
here. Liam's been here so many times, he's actually one time we had to interview me. We ran out of questions.
That's right.
Do you pick over what you've said in interviews and sort of think, oh, Christ?
No.
Don't you do that at all?
No.
John?
No, I don't VAR what comes out of my mouth, man. Whatever comes out and I live and die by it.
You got a new album out, March the 1st. John, what can we expect?
Greatness. Yeah, that's the word.
Okay, how long have some of these songs been kicking around for in this collection? What's the earliest kind of... Yeah, how far back do they some of them stretch?
When was that rehearsal for Nebworth that I came to?
Yeah, that would have been about 2 weeks. Whenever Nebworth was.
Yeah.
2 weeks before.
About 2 weeks before, John come down just... Champagne Supernova, like he needs to rehearse it.
Just after that, I started on the first tune.
I was going to suddenly ask you a question, and I thought I sounded just like a cough. I was going to go, can't you remember when that was, Liam?
Are you sick into that answer, Liam?
Are you sick into that answer? It really came across like a policeman. Yeah. And you saying you can't remember Nebworth, Liam? Yeah. The dates?
No comment.
I've been told by my lawyer. Yeah. I've got your album track list. Liam, what is your favourite track on the album? What would you really, apart from, it could be the one we've heard. But.
Well, obviously I like them all, and obviously certain different songs do different things. Some make you want to kick someone in the shin.
Yes.
Some make you want to go out and party.
Yes.
And some make you want to sit at home and just have a good old think.
Right.
And a little cry. So there's different, but so for the one that makes me emotional, Mother Nature's song. Is a killer.
Okay, that's the last song on the whole
thing. Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. It sort of really stops me in my tracks and makes me think.
Okay.
That'd be a good one for staring out the window.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or staring at your neighbour.
Yeah,
imagine that. If every time the song comes on, you appear at the window and your neighbour's thinking, oh, Christ.
He's listening to that tune again.
You're just there like that. Like a sort of seagull looking at someone's chips.
Yeah.
John, what are you particularly proud of and what are your...
It changes every time I listen to the record. If you want to throw chairs through a window in a Western saloon, I'd recommend One Day at a Time.
Okay, thank you very much. That's enough. That's all I want to do.
I'm actually noting that down.
I'm noting that down. Buy
saloon.
Find saloon.
Smash up.
Buy chair. Flimsy chair.
Raise Your Hands makes you want a roller skate.
Does it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. If you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other... if we go Mars to Liverpool, what will that make me feel?
I like lifting weights, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Light weights.
Yeah.
I like Mars. Is that a message from Mars to Liverpool?
Yeah. It's about getting back.
Okay.
Getting to Mars and thinking, you know what? I miss Earth.
Okay.
I'll go back.
And, okay.
I was looking for a rhyme.
Yeah.
It was Blackpool, Hartlepool or Liverpool.
Okay.
So.
I thought it was Mars to Liverpool, like Mars calling Liverpool. And people on Mars just thinking, what an incredibly weird environment. looking down, thinking, how do they live like that? You know, please don't send us home.
I'm glad you're saying this.
No, but Mars go Liverpool, anywhere on Earth, but there. Yeah. I'm a wheel. What's that about, John?
Carrying on.
Okay. Is it any particular rolling?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then, this is obviously, I'm not trying to be like John Kennedy, who goes track by track, but it's just nice. Then we've got Just Another Rainbow, which I gather is a lovely story attached to that, without wishing to sound like a game show host. I gather there's a lovely story attached to that, John.
The story?
No, I heard that you live on a hill and you see a lot of rainbows and you saw a beautiful rainbow and you actually thought, oh, it's just another rainbow, which is kind of poetic.
That's probably part of it, yeah. But I didn't see a rainbow and think, I'll write a song.
Okay.
I just let anything come in. I sit down with a guitar, I let anything come in. It could be from the TV, something I've read in a book, a joke, a text from Liam, something I've seen outside. And there's no entry policy for a lyric.
There's no entry policy. You've either got it or you haven't in this game.
Well, anyway, what does Johnny Vaughan think it's about?
What, Just Another Rainbow?
Yeah.
I think it's about the magical commonplace, and these things are just another rainbow. And it's that sort of cynicism, something so utterly beautiful that could just stun you and take your breath away, and that's what it really is. The magical commonplace, I call it.
Yeah, I like that.
That'll do.
Wish I'd said that.
He liked it.
You two, get a room, man.
Okay. Make it up as you go along.
I first thought of that when I started having lots of kids. Got six children.
Have you?
And I realised, Jesus, my mum and dad were just making it up as they went along.
Right.
I thought they knew it all, but this was I was the first kid they'd had.
Yeah, I was going to say
there was no rule book.
Do you think it's because what makes the oldest different and not take the parents so seriously is for the oldest they can sense their parents haven't got a clue. Even as a baby, they're thinking like they're changing everything. You haven't got a clue, have you? You've obviously never done this before, and maybe it comes through that way.
Yeah,
that's not how you wipe an ass. Better off doing it myself. Yeah. I've made a right mess here. I'll save me old nappies from now on. Yeah. Go to the pub. Yeah.
Really independent.
Yeah. Put a CV on before you go out. Though.
Yeah. In fact, no, I'll do it myself because you'll put it on the test card. Yeah. So, guys, you've also announced your first tour together. Tickets go on sale next Friday, 2nd of Feb. You go to Glasgow, Wolverhampton, Dublin, Newcastle, Leeds. Two nights in both London and Manchester. Is the set list going to be just this, or are you going to take stuff from Oasis? You're going to take a bit of stuff
from... No, it's not doing any of that. It's going to be just this album, and maybe a few covers and that in there that we might get round to doing, but it won't be our other bands and that, because that's naff.
What's funny about it, yeah, is that you can sit there going, but we won't be doing our other bands, you know, the Stone Roses and Oasis. We'll be leaving that out, John.
No, but
doing all your curly face.
I won't be singing. No, them songs mean too much for me, man, to be howling over them, like, as in the Roses, you know what I mean?
Yeah, would you feel like...
I don't mind howling over the Oasis ones.
But would you feel like that's now entered karaoke, like very bigly karaoke?
No, but it just means they mean too much to me as for me, you know what I mean? I'm like, nah.
What's your favourite Roses tune?
I'm the Resurrection.
I think, mate, I mean,
Waterfall, Made of Star, all of them. I like all the backwards stuff as well, but I like Finger, what's it, the one that with the fuzz.
Yeah.
That's a beauty.
I love it. I think Because when you see the Roses do it, sorry to talk about you, John. Made of Stone, Made of Stone always just gets me going.
Oh,
you,
yeah.
You see how much it means to people. I think if we measure in terms of, if we had a meaningometer, you know, it just, it's the sometimes I fantasize. And I, you realize everyone there sometimes fantasizes, in fact, quite a lot. And it just breaks your heart when you see people who are there and you sort of think, hard. We all go to this place and sing along and we're all, you know, brownie there. It's just fantastic.
A guy came up to me in Leeds once and said that the Fuzz had split him and his missus up. Right, it was track 99 on the album.
Yeah.
And they were in bed making out and CD had finished. And then this track he'd never heard. He'd had the album for ages. He'd never heard the track before. It came on. And he got really distracted. He got out of bed.
Hold on a minute, I've got to look into this.
Hang on a second.
Hold on a minute.
Yeah, and she, that precipitated the end.
Well, you could write a song called Bonus Track Divorce. I mean, that's perfect. That's
bonus. Bonus or bonus?
But
bonus,
what, either?
Bonus. Bonus track.
Bonus track. Bonus. Divorce.
We've shoved on a bonus track. It's like sort of quite slow jazz funk. Right. I've got some listener questions. Because they were keen. They were really keen.
How many? Two?
Yeah, there's two.
Both of them have asked a question.
That's why it's plural. Yeah. Here we go. Kevin in Manchester, he says, question Liam, when he's back in Burnage, does he ever pop into the Irish shop to get the Connacht Telegraph and Chef sauce?
No.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, if you could answer with that kind of brevity on it.
I don't even know where it is. Where is it?
I don't know. It's in Burnage. I don't know.
No, it's not. There wasn't one there when I was there last.
It strikes me as quite old school.
I mean, I just got with my mum anyway. Go and see my mum. I'll get her to do it.
Okay, nice. Mum! Okay. Sid in Birmingham wants to know, you both wake up one morning and your rock and roll barnets start to look a little bit threadbare. And what would you do, John, if you started to lose a bit of hair? What would you do? Be careful here.
I'd probably start crying.
Would you?
Yeah.
Cheers.
Thanks, John. Thanks.
Would you ever consider, if you did start losing it, even at the back, would you ever consider a transplant?
Yeah, of course, you'd have to.
Easy, because look at me, I haven't.
Yeah, but you left it too late, old. You left it too late, old man. It's like Bonehead, you left it too late.
And then war was over.
And you got all cocky about it as well. You should have just gone straight in, man. You know what I mean? You left it, when you can't come back from that now. See, I could have a little sneaky one on the sly.
You could sneak it through.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like you've been marching about, giving it the big one with your bald head and all
okay,
that.
Okay,
like
okay.
Bonehead and that you can't do it.
All right, okay. I'll tell you something. Yeah, have you seen the colour this is? You've got grey in yours. This is jet black. Yeah. This is the black velvet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just saying. Yeah. Remember, hair is dead. Yeah, I'm showing less death than you two. No, that's what I'm saying. I'm showing less. Look at the two of you. Just giving us a sneak preview of the grave.
Sean's got great hair, man.
He's going great. Yeah, he has, actually.
Yeah, but grey's all right.
No, greying. Is it all right? Is grey all right?
It's all right.
You'd
die for a bit of grey, you wouldn't.
I would not. Yeah, you are wrong. No, yeah, I know. Sure, if it's grey, it's going to stay, as we say in balding circles. But I tell you this, yeah, I saw there was an old lady. She had long grey hair in front of me on the bus. I was nearly sick. Yeah. Right.
Did you ever think about a little fez or something? When you know, for the crow's nest.
He wears a fez. He does wear
still
a fez.
Still
yeah, got a fez, yeah.
You and a smoking jacket.
Respect.
As well, yeah.
You can get fezes made in Lock & Co. Down in St. James.
Are they the Tommy Cooper things?
Yes, yeah. You can get one made for 90 quid. Any colour you want with any logo on it. 90
Amazing.
Quid. At Lock & Co, the world's oldest hatters.
Are they open today?
Yeah, they are open today. And what's interesting about that, we'll be the judge of that, John, is that...
Bez should have a fez shop, shouldn't he?
Bez's fezes. Yeah.
It'd just be perfect, be wouldn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, is that...
Sean's lawns. We're off, mate. Dragon's Den. Come here.
If you could slot into an existing band, what band would that be and why?
That's a naughty question.
Yeah, it is, yeah. But if you could go any other band, you could just have a little... Just
slot into it.
Yeah, just slot in, yeah. You suddenly go, Liam Gallagher, and you just do one of their numbers.
Just slot in. The word is slot.
Slot.
Mm. Just slot in. Any existing band.
Yeah.
Oof.
Do you want to go first, John?
Go on. I do not.
Okay,
existing band. Who would I like to slot into? Really. I'm not digging any existing bands.
Okay, fair enough. John?
I wouldn't want to slot into a band that I love and mess it up.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Last question in this section. Did you ever think of having a band name, the two of you?
No.
I did that. I've done that with BDI and it's sort of, you just go back down to the bottom. It's like Snakes and Ladders, you know what I mean? You just got to start again, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So just now that, you know.
Yeah.
John's name, you know, people know who we are. As
yeah.
Our name.
Hey, we're names, Johnny.
We'll never get anywhere.
Yeah,
I did that with BDI, never again.
Okay.
Liam Gallagher, capital letters.
Okay.
It says
fluorescent paint.
That's what it says on
John,
the tin.
Yeah. But it's, isn't it fun? Anyway, John, that question to John Squire. Did you ever think of you'd have a band name?
For us to have a band name?
Yes.
Very briefly, but I think it was...
Steady on, John.
I was wishing I was 20 again.
Okay.
You can't wind the clock back.
Will you stay with us for a second?
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. Ladies and gentlemen, John Squire, Liam Gallagher!
Come
on.
With UK Export Finance, I'm fulfilling more export orders from around the world with working capital support.
Export insurance means I'll get paid when exporting to challenging markets.
At UK Export Finance, we believe no viable UK export should fail for lack of finance or insurance. Between 2022 and 2023, we provided £6.5 billion of government-backed trade finance to support UK exports. Learn how we could help you win export contracts, fulfil orders, and get paid. Search UK Export Finance today.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
This is the 4 till 7 thing. I've got a couple of guests today. Liam Gallagher and John Squire popped down. Both celebrating big anniversaries this year, fellas. 30 years since the release of Definitely Maybe, 35 years since Stone Roses' debut album. Liam, how influential was Stone Roses on you?
Yeah, without a doubt, massive. That's the reason, that's how it all started for me, man. First kind of record, that's the foundation. Got into the Beatles and the Stones and the Kinks and all that other stuff after it, you know what I mean? They led me to all them kind of places, you know what I mean? So 100%.
Can you remember how you felt the excitement when you first heard Fool's Gold? Because I can to this day.
I love standing here, man.
Yeah.
That guitar riff was the... I mean, Fool's Gold was definitely...
No, it was just Fool's Gold. I just didn't know anyone in this country was capable of that.
Yeah.
Of actually a groove. Of actually fashioning a groove with a guitar going through it and then a vocal like a ghost drifting through the mansion of the groove.
That beat is heavy as well. If you hear it through a proper
really
car system,
heavy.
It's heavy.
Oh, man. Sorry. John, can you remember the Oasis album? Definitely Maybe. What do you think of that?
Oh, my girlfriend's sister had it.
Sorry.
Oh, honestly.
What are you laughing at?
Nothing. No, it's just... Yeah. It's John Squire, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is.
I stuck it on and every song went by and I thought, they can't keep this up.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And
yeah.
They did.
Yeah. Normally you're getting two tracks, aren't you, on the album?
Yeah, yeah.
Then they'll space them out, like one track four, side two... Track two, side one, and you sort of think, yeah, it's not a bad bit of filler, but it's unbelievable, isn't it?
I knew it was the real deal.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Look at our kid's face. No, this is his kind of conversation.
I'm sweating now. I won't even stop talking.
This is his kind of conversation. I thought you were going to go, what about the vocal?
Because of banging.
John, will you be making any festival appearances this year?
I don't think we are we?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, we will if it's right, I guess, innit? You know what I mean? But
I'm up for it, but I've not heard anything.
Yeah, we've not heard anything, but...
That is why you'll always make a sweet dollar in this beautiful business. Yeah,
but you know how it is, John. It depends, mate.
Damn right. You have got... I've looked at your diary. You have got a Glastonbury-shaped hole in your gig diary.
What were you saying? What was the question?
Oh, Glastonbury.
No, I don't know. I've not heard anything from it, but I'm up for it. We're up for it. Why not, man? Okay. I can't wait to play this record to anyone. Everyone.
Okay. Johnny Marr was a bit offended because Donald Trump was paying... some Smith's tunes. He's playing Smith's tunes. Please.
At a rally, yeah.
At a rally, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like karaoke or something.
Yeah, no, yeah, he did, yeah, it's trouble. Like, oh, please.
Surely that's not a crime
would
now.
You take me home tonight? But I haven't Let got a thing to wear. Yet. I would go out tonight. But I haven't got a stitch to wear.
He should have done this charming man, though, should he?
Yeah, right.
He's got the wrong thing, hasn't he? Yeah. Or Big Mouth Strikes Again or something like that. Please. Is that what he's been doing?
Yes, you've been doing please me.
Nah, I don't suit him.
Let me get what I want. That's what we've been doing. So, but what would you most like, Trump, of all your tunes, what would you most like him to play?
Come on, man, I'm going to get into trouble by doing this. I
won't. No, you won't get into trouble if you want Trump to go into a wall of glass.
I don't know, man.
Okay, this question from my butcher. Here we go.
Liam, what meat would you like this weekend?
That's from Gary the Butcher. What meat do you want this weekend?
Meat that I want this weekend.
There's a prize on this between you and John. He's given me a satsuma from his shop.
What meat?
Who gives the best answer?
What meat? I like a steak.
What's up? Which cut? He'll need to know.
I like the thin ones. I don't like them big daft.
The sirloin. No, I don't. You like a sirloin?
Like a flat, thin steak with some chips, like what the Belgians do.
Yeah.
Okay, so probably
I don't like them small, fat, funky little things like hearts or...
You going ribeye or sirloin?
It's a sirloin, I think. Yeah.
Okay, sirloin. Okay.
And John, what would you like also?
John, what are you going for?
Bacon.
Oh, is the correct answer.
That's a good answer, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, but he'll need to know which, because there's a variety there. You're going...
Back unsmoked.
Specific, yeah.
Look, sorry, who do you think is going to win the butcher's satsuma?
Oh, don't give it to
me. That sounds obscene as well, doesn't it? You've got a butcher's satsuma in your slot.
He's got the old butcher's satsuma.
I'm not coming in here, anyway.
Right, we're nearly at the end.
Can I ask a guitar nerd question?
Yes, of course you can, yeah.
So, John, you're the only guitar player I've ever seen have a crowd sing a guitar solo.
Yeah.
The breakdown bit in She Bangs the Drums. And I've never seen that before. I've seen hundreds of gigs. You actually got space for a solo in the last tune, in Just Another Rainbow.
Yes.
Was it your Black Les Paul? Or is it that red Strat you're using in the video? This is for all the guitar nerds that
Why
need
would
to
you
know.
Say... Why?
Well, because you're on the neck pickup. It's got an amazing sound. But I couldn't tell.
Yeah, it's the red Strat.
It is. Wow. Not a humbucker.
Okay. What would you say? We once, for weird reasons, because we used to go to the same brasserie, I know Jimmy Page a bit. And I once bumped into him with Gav, and we started, because Gav thinks he could identify his favourite guitar just by feeling the neck alone.
Easily, yeah.
And we asked Jimmy if he could. He's obviously got a lot of guitars. And Jimmy said,
"Well, my number one, John." He goes, "Of course I can. It's got a scallop neck." He actually talks just like Spinal Tap.
It's quite weird. He goes, "What, my number one guitar?"
is that what it got, a scallop neck?
Yeah, well,
is that a thing?
It's the back of his neck that's carved out. So the middle of the back of his neck is thinner than the two ends, which is really dangerous because you can wear through to the truss rod.
Yeah.
So, but his is.
So it was customised.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone had done it before Jimmy got it.
Wow.
And it's really slim, apparently. I've seen the measurements. I'm such a nerd. Okay. I've seen the measurements. It's
John,
really
could
thin.
You tell your number one? What is your number one guitar? What would you say?
At the moment, it's the red Strat.
It's the red Strat. And you can obviously tell it, just go around the neck, you're fine with that.
Yeah. I bought...
Are you all mad about being blindfolded?
Yeah.
It's like doing a Pepsi Challenge.
Like you bet.
Exactly.
It's like you bet.
They do feel different.
Could you do that, John? Yeah.
Yeah.
You're blindfolded.
I was going to say, I bought the same Fender custom shop guitar by the same maker.
Yeah.
Exactly the same setup, felt nothing like it.
There you go.
Liam, I compare it to you, because I'm not a guitarist either.
Neither am I.
But with guitarists, having chatted with Jimmy about it, it's like, do you know things, like you got like a little ulcer in your mouth and it feels massive?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
It's apparently exactly the same with guitars. It's just literally like that speaking device. It becomes like literally as big as things feel in your mouth. It's like a bit of apple in the tooth. They are that.
Because your hands get
guitar.
So used to it over the years.
Yeah.
Any difference you can notice. Well,
it makes sense, though, doesn't it?
It does.
Caressing it.
Yeah. Caressing it. Yeah. Well, it gently weeps.
then I guess you become familiar, don't you?
Wiping its tears. Yeah.
Blowing its nose.
The album, Liam Gallagher, John Squire, released on March the 1st. I love the artwork, incidentally. Fans who pre-order the album by 3pm next Tuesday, January the 30th, will receive access to a pre-sale for tour tickets. Otherwise, tickets to see Liam John go on general sale next Friday from 9:30. Demand is expected to be high. Head to radiox.co.uk for all the information. Let's finish with the track that started it all and saw you blaze onto the scene as a duo. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Just Another Rainbow. Thank you so much, fellas, for coming in. I really appreciate it. John's been lovely to meet you. Liam's always just fantastic having you in. You remain our favourite guest. But you're ranking with John now because, of course, you know, he's here and everything like that. He's also eating the old butcher's satsuma. Get it in, son. Right in your slot. Ladies and gentlemen, Gallagher and Squire!
Woo! X. This is Sarah's last game before she does her self-assessment. Like her last game, and the last game before that, classic. Come on, Sarah, the deadline is 31st of January. Less distraction, more action.
Don't be like Sarah. Visit gov.uk/self-assessment today. Payment support may be available.
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
Gav.
Yeah?
You have a...
A stove.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
A stove.
You've got a wood-burning stove.
I have.
Tell
I
me
have.
About it.
Well, it's a really small little Swedish wood burner with a little glass door on the front.
Swedish, eh?
Yeah.
Well, you mean it's sexy somehow?
Yeah, well, you know, the Swedish Scandinavians know a thing or two about cold weather.
Yeah, Swedish wood burner.
Yeah, the old Swedish wood burner, yeah.
He's got the old Swedish wood burner.
Hmm. We had a fireplace in the house, and I didn't want an open fire.
Why not?
Because of all the pollution, and it smells of a fire. In your house.
And, well, it's fine. It does. I quite like the smell of fire. When the fire's active, but then you get that go away for a couple of weeks and come back and
damp,
you that
cold
stale
smell.
Fire. Yeah, it sort of smells like, it reminds you why no one should live in the country.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, the sort of the with nail and eye factor.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought, why not put one of those little stoves in there?
And and what sort of heat are you getting out of that, Gav?
Oh, it shuts off my whole heating system.
Does it
shuts
it?
The whole house down, yeah. No boiler once it's running, yeah.
What, one little burner for your
yes.
whole house?
Yes. It shuts
it down.
Yeah,
I know you're lying.
I'm not lying.
You're doing that face.
I'm not lying. I'm genuinely not lying. Probably the one mitigating factor is that the sensor for the boiler is not that far from the front room.
Okay, it's because the boiler sensor is
yeah, so the
going,
the attic
right,
stays
it.
A bit cold.
Heating off.
Yeah, that's right.
The boiler's
yeah,
on,
yeah.
The burner's on.
But it does. I have to keep the doors open, otherwise the front room gets way too hot. And it's not that big a burner.
But do you all sit there in, like, towels, Swedish style?
Have you been watching us?
No, but do you just the whole family's like...
No, of course
you,
not.
Do you become
no.
like the Imperial Leather family in
yeah,
those
no,
old
no,
adverts
no,
years
no.
ago where they were even on a plane, they're all in baths?
It depends who's got dominion over the television, but yeah.
Okay. So the woods all walk around naked yeah. when they're Swedish wood burners on.
Shop.
Great song.
Sure.
More than two-thirds of people using stoves and fireplaces. Okay.
Mm.
Do you know it's harmful for your health?
Yes, I do. I am aware that even though the door shuts, that there are particulates that invade the airspace in my front room if I open the door.
Are you talking about PM25?
Exactly those. I mean, you do, generally, you should always air out the house every time you use it.
Do your children have stunted lung development?
No. I mean, you breathe more particulates just walking out of your front door than anything that will come out of a stove.
Nice, good. I love the way you've thought up all the arguments. No, there's more out there.
Exactly.
I tell you what, if you want to kill yourself, get on a bicycle.
Yeah, just
with
walk,
all the stuff you're inhaling there, mate.
Near a bus, and you've just breathed in way more particulates.
Would you believe only 35% of 2,000 adults polled said that they thought it was true that wood burning harms everyone's health. Mm. Another 24% thought it was false. 41% were not sure.
Mm.
So, Gav, you're sure it's not harming. You're aware of the harm.
Yes.
But what you've done is created a very elaborate denial scheme.
Exactly what I've done.
Good man.
Full rationalisation.
Good man.
Yeah.
Good man.
Yeah.
Good man.
Because I like us.
It could be worse. I could be out there.
Exactly.
Nice. That's great. As long as you're fine with it.
Sure.
As long as you're not a part of the ignorant masses and you found a way to deny.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mind you, that to be fair to the woman, he's the last person I know still smokes in the car with her children in the back. And his missus. Shut up in the back.
Get your own fags.
Yeah, right.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now. You get the 4 till 7 fang downloaded straight to your device every single Friday. If you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk.
Radio.